This episode of The A-Team is brought to you by FaceToFaceGames.com, Canada's number one source for Magic the Gathering card singles.
Okay, so the decks, it sounds like the kind of matchup where you find out your opponent's playing that, you just order a pizza, wait for it to show up, eat it, and then by the time you're done with it, turn two is over.
Yeah.
Welcome to the A-Team Podcast, brought to your ears by ManaDeprived.com, home of Canadian Magic.
In 2010, a crack Magic playing unit was sent to prison by the DCI court for mises they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison to the Canadian underground. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to The A-Team.
KYT.
It's just like, why? Not everything I do is like horrible. You can't have it both ways, old man.
Jay Boosh.
Damn it! Why am I always so ahead of the curve, and then somebody like Owen makes a deck popular, and now I sound like every deck brewer on the planet?
Scotty.
It's actually a secret ploy for her to get you two to spend more time together. Your mom next levels you.
That's awesome. Yeah, like, seriously.
And Jeremy.
Do you know how hard it is to buy Korean singles?
No.
And when you put Korean singles into Googles, do you know what you get? You don't get Magic cards.
And now, the A-Team.
Hey everybody, welcome to the A-Team Podcast, episode 198. I'm Mariah Pagliacco, and I'm joined by my friends KYT.
Hey!
Scotty Mac.
What's going on?
And my dad.
Hello.
That was very well done. It's like you've listened to 197 episodes beforehand or something. So here we are, everybody. A-Team Podcast, episode 198. For those of you that don't know who that was, of course, my unbelievable MTGO Community Cup teammate, Mariah, and her dad, of course, Tony, T-Pups, as you guys may know him from way back in the day. But currently the... What is your official title, sir?
I am a senior technical producer at Wizards of the Coast.
There you go.
That sounds good, doesn't it?
It sounds real good.
I know. It sounds really impressive.
So your responsibilities right now at WotC tend to include Planeswalker points as sort of your primary go-to portfolio, right?
Correct.
Okay. So that's pretty awesome. Like, were you there sort of like for the launch and creation, or is this something that you kind of were moved into after it had launched?
Well, I originally got hired at WotC as a senior development manager, so I was managing the team of developers that build Planeswalker points.
Okay.
And Mike Turian, who you know from the Community Cup, he was the producer on Planeswalker points. He went to go join Worth on the Mitko team, and I took over the producer role. So pretty much what I do from day to day is just work with like the different divisions in the company and figure out what they want to add to Planeswalker points and how to make it better for the user. And then rest of the time, I just use big words in meetings to confuse people.
Sick. All right, good. So we have you, of course, here. And Mariah, how are you doing, honey? How are you holding up?
Pretty good. I got my new wheelchair today. I'm happy.
Sweet. How is this one better than the one previous?
The tires are smaller. It has a better back that's specifically made to help me sit up straighter and like comfort my back because it's always hurting.
Yeah.
My foot plate's better, so.
Tell me, well, we got the Fast and Furious add-on package, so she's got Nitro.
Yeah,
I love it.
I'm just gonna speed everywhere.
Good, awesome.
That's the thing. No one can understand that. We joke about her accident because it keeps us going, but like. So some people at times like, oh my god, they're joking about her wheelchair. It's like, well, it's right there. How can we not? You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh, the Cards Against Humanity people.
I know.
We went to PAX Prime and they had a booth where you could tell them about yourself and they'd make fun of you and make a card. And so I was like, make fun of the wheelchair. And this guy just had no clue what to do. He's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, like, make fun of the wheelchair. I got hit by a car. And he just, like, this poor guy was, like, looking at me like, this chick's crazy. It was so funny.
So the thing that just slayed me was we were, the thing that clued me into this, I remember as we were talking, we were headed over to, I guess it was day one, maybe it was the tour, I don't remember, and of the Community Cup, of course. And we're talking about Vintage Masters. It must have been the day going into VMA. And we're talking about what to play, and Aaron and Paul and you know, Tom, we're all talking about it. And so Aaron goes, yeah, I just keep passing me the spinal grafts. We'll be fine. And you guys just lost it. So funny. You're just like, Mariah, oh my God, there's a car in spinal graft. We need to get you as many as we can. Oh, I died. I just died. So, yeah, that was sort of like the first indication that you guys are real good sports about this whole thing. And, I mean, how else do you handle it, right? So, good for you guys.
We bombed enough PTQs that we're used to disappointment, so it's okay.
Oh, man. So, yeah, so working at WOTC is gotta be, like, full of its ups and downs all around, right? Like, I understand that we can't go too deep, but there's a few things that I want to just kind of touch on. The first is, and this is just something that seems really relevant, it impacts not just you, but your whole family, in that Mariah can't play competitive Magic anymore, and neither can you, right?
That is absolutely correct.
So, like, what are the whole... Like, how does that happen? Like, you're told about that, obviously, during the hiring process, and this is sort of something you've got to decide. Like, they didn't just drop that on you later, right?
No. It was pretty upfront. You know, they talk about... I was a unique case because I was one of the players who's played for a long time, and then I also had a daughter who was playing competitively as well. So I was, like, the ultimate corner case because there's not many of those in the company, especially with children Mariah's age. And from my perspective, I had to look at it like, if you were a fan of like basketball or football and you got a chance to work for the NBA or NFL, you know, would you take that chance? Of course you would, you know, even if it means that you couldn't actively, you know, play football or watch it again. I'm not really sure that correlates. But like at the time, Mariah was going on 17 and I was like, well, you know what? I'm like, I had a job offer from Yahoo at the same time. So I was deciding between Yahoo and WOTC. And I sort of asked myself, like, well, what's going to happen? She's going to graduate from high school. She's going to go to college, and she's going to join a sorority and then, you know, go party and do all the stuff that normal college kids do. And then, you know, she's probably not going to be magicking that much, you know? And I should have known better than that because she's a gigantic nerd like me, and she would probably be spending, going to PTQs.
Yeah. She was more of a grinder than you were, yeah.
I wouldn't say that.
You were getting a little up there in age where
Whoa.
You didn't want to drive the 6 hours, but I totally.
Listen, like, when you've been a goddamn icon like I have.
You were not.
Listen.
You're not an icon.
You know what? I will let the air out of those tires right now, and then we'll see who wins.
I think that's legal. So.
Okay. Well, anyways. We talked about it really straight up and just like, look, here's what it is. We can still play, you know, casual on occasion, which we both hate.
Yeah.
And we didn't know. We thought at the time that we would be able to get into a different game and maybe pick up on it, like the WoW TCG, which died. Yu-Gi-Oh, which took us one turn, and we said we're never playing this game again.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we just sort of take it. I mean, Mariah can still play on Magic Online. She just can't play in anything that qualifies her for anything, but she can still, you know, play like,
I can't
daily
play fun, so...
Yeah, so it's just like one of those things where it's like, this is sort of the price you have to pay if you want to see how the food is made, you know what I mean?
Sure. Okay. So do you get a God account? Is everyone at WOTC have a God account? Is it just some people get it? Like, how does this work on Miko? Like, I don't even... Damn it, I did it. Damn it! I swore to myself at the beginning of the show I wouldn't do it, and I just did it. I hate you. Okay.
Demon unlocked. Got Scotty Mac to say Mick go.
Oh God. Anyways, that's all you hear. By the way, for those of you that have never been to WOTC, all you hear, they refer to MTGO or Moto, as we all call it. They refer to it as Mitgo. MTGO, literal pronunciation. And it's all I heard. And it was something that I swore I wouldn't do because I think it's just it's, I understand it's simple, but it's foreign and it's odd and just sounds ridiculous.
But you two are both foreign and odd, so it works out perfect.
Sigh.
But no, I mean, what there are employee accounts that people get, and it's used for testing and using for making sure things are working properly and test, you know, helping test the features that go public and stuff. You know, it's, I don't tend to dabble in that too much, so it's an area that's not really in my realm, so to speak.
Okay, fair. So how much MTGO do you play, Mariah?
Say the truth.
Not a lot. I used to play a lot of Phantom Seals because first place used to get 3 packs, and now it doesn't, and it only gets 16 Phantom Points and a QP, and Phantom Points just aren't that fun, and it's just not that rewarding anymore, and I feel bad asking Dad for tickets and packs all the time to do events, so...
All right. That's sad.
It is. It's very sad.
Instead, she plays other games. Which we won't say what they are.
Oh.
We can't talk about the competitors. Even though they're fun.
Well, they're not deemed competitors, right? So.
Pretty much.
Anyways. We're not going there. We're not going there. We don't want to go. That's not a rabbit hole that we're going to go down today.
Mm-hmm.
If you all don't right. know who we're talking about, just their names are similar. The company names.
All right. So, Watsy, the one thing that I noticed when I was there is that everybody is fucking amazing. Everybody is amazing. It is a criminal offense that everybody in the community doesn't know who all of you are. I like it's a disaster, in my opinion. It's like there is this huge, everyone talks about the WotC veil. You know, it's like you go in and then all of a sudden you can't talk about anything. And it's almost like everybody's just so paralyzed and crippled with fear of what may happen to you, you know, from all of the things that I'm sure you have to sign at NDAs and whatnot, that you know, nobody just says anything, or maybe you guys are just too busy working, or like, I don't even know, but everybody there was so awesome. And I just would really like to know why we as a community don't get more introduced to all of you as people.
Well, I mean, there is a number of people that are sort of like the public facing voices of certain things, like Helen with OP and Aaron Forsyth with R&D and Worth with, you know, Magic Online, Mike Tyrion, Magic Online. And they deal a lot with the people like one-on-one, you know, handling issues or getting feedback and stuff like that. But the thing that a lot of people don't really understand about Wizards is that most of the time we are really heads down deep in a lot of work. For as much as, you know, people like to complain or people like to, you know, bring up the pain points and ignore the wins and victories. I mean, the people who work at Wizards really genuinely care about what they're doing. And even to a bigger level with the people who've been involved in the game for a long time, because we're not only building this game for the present, but we're trying to build it for, you know, the children that are growing up now, you know, the sons, the daughters of people that we played with for years. So most of the time, I mean, there's people who are there regularly cranking out 12-hour days, and it's not because they're being forced to. It's because they really care about what they're trying to deliver to the public. And so a lot of the times, it's just a matter of the fact that, like, you know, there are people who are, like, the voices of Wizards, and then there's people who really just want to be in the background doing what they're doing and helping deliver that product. And so that's probably some sort of the insight into why there's such a WotC veil, you know?
Okay. So it still doesn't really help me understand. Everyone's just too busy is really what it comes down to, which is a like great that you're all working so hard, but a terrible shame to us, the community.
All right. Well, you tell me then, is that what would you like to see in terms of exposing these, not exposing these people, but like making them like community known, like what would you like to see?
So, okay. So examples, right? Like I was there, and I mean, we meet Allison from the, Allison's a good example from the MTGO account, right? Like the MTGO online Twitter account. And so every now and then, it was just like Allison. You know, brackets Allison, tweet something.
Yep.
But, like, that doesn't remotely give Allison credit. Like, she was a very dynamic human being.
So what? You know? So what I'm smelling or what I'm sensing is that if maybe Wizards had a, like, you know, meet the employee thing on the website or something like that, where you could actually interact with them and sort of ask them about what they do and things like that, that might be something that you as a consumer of our game like to see.
So, we could even just make it simpler. I mean, if for example, you know, the people that that post from the MTGO Twitter account, right? Yeah. And we know that it's, you know, that we know all these people. You can, when you click on the profile, you can have, you know, run by this person, this person, this person, and this person by their actual Twitter handle.
That's a great idea. And right. I mean, and that's, but see, this is part of what I do is I talk with people in the community and I talk with for ideas in terms of what's going to make people happy. When Planeswalker Points took away state rankings and I went to Vegas and did a whole bunch. I interviewed 232 people at 15 minutes a pop getting feedback on Planeswalker Points. One of the most common responses back was bring back states. So we brought back state rankings. This is the kind of thing though, that now that like I could actually take and be like, hey, you know what? We heard this idea. Here's the reason why, here's the value in it, you know, and maybe it gets done.
Yeah, it's weird because there just seems to be this overall impression, you know, that WotC's like the big bad machine, I guess, you know, and it would just be better if we had a few more reminders that the machine was manned by some pretty fucking amazing people.
No, I agree. And I think what you're saying is good because there are people who do great work at Wizards and they actually deserve that recognition. We loved it. We love the hashtag for Blameworth and all that stuff. But like when it boils down to it is that there are some sickos just programming their butts off. Like one of the community team members, Matt Gregory.
Yep.
That dude's an animal, but you wouldn't have known him unless he was on the Community Cup. And so I think there's definitely opportunities in the future as we begin. And this is going to sound totally unlike me, sounding like a corporate drone. But this is going to give us a lot more opportunities to be able to recognize and celebrate those people who do a lot of this good stuff for us.
I agree. Good.
There's my Hasbro moment sounding corporate.
We'll take it. We want it anyway. All right. Yeah. So you mentioned Planeswalker Points and you mentioned sort of like getting into the ground floor. So Planeswalker Points has always been an interesting product offering from WotC because it almost felt like it was, I mean, when it first released, it was a route to the tour, right?
Right.
And it resulted in some truly degenerate gaming behavior on behalf of a large number of our community. And there was a lot of complaints about burnout and system gaming and all that sort of stuff. Eventually that got taken away and the Planeswalker Points were used to qualify for, the big, huge FNM challenge or whatever, and that happened 1 year and now it's gone. So Planeswalker Points sort of were designed to be a replacement for the ELO rankings.
Right.
So what do you feel the role of Planeswalker Points is in the community today?
I think that right now Planeswalker Points is in a state where you're able to accurately gauge how you rank against other players in your area, or nationally, globally, in terms of activity. You know, anyone can go to FNM every week, and if they're not winning, you know, they're still getting points. But however, it's not really about just winning and losing. When I talk about Planeswalker Points to people, and I sort of like get a feel for where they're at, I view like online banking. Let's use this for an example. Online banking. 5 years ago, you could log in, you checked your account, and then you logged out because you were done. And over the course of time, online banking now, you log in, you check your balances, you do some investments, you pay some bills, you deposit a check with your phone. There's all of these tools now that support that system to make it more usable and to increase engagement. I feel that right now, me personally, and I speak for myself only, is that we're in a nice area for us to capitalize to start building those other tools and Planeswalker points. So you're not just logging in, checking your points and getting out. We want people to get in there to, you know, be able to perform some actions, whether it's, you know, checking this or checking that, or being able to find events near them or see PTQs that are coming up. There's a lot of opportunities for improvement there that I feel that we're going to be able to capitalize on, I'd say, fairly in the short term.
Nice. So it sounds an awful lot like a Planeswalker Points app could be something in the future that would be very successful. Conceptually,
that is one of the many ideas that are on the notepad.
Sweet. Yeah, I mean, like, even if you were able to turn, like, I think there's a big social aspect of Planeswalker Points again that also maybe an opportunity, right? Because I mean, if we can find ways to bring Planeswalker Points back into the conversation, whether it's just, you know, an easy quick share, or hey, look, I you know, I climbed up the ladder, or hey guys, come beat me, or, you know, whatever you want to do. I mean, like, it would also be sweet if we got these situations where, like, I envision like an app, right? And you're like, hey, look, I just did this to my opponent. And you like take a picture of some like ridiculously convoluted board state where you're about to like ultimate six planeswalkers and just like go off, right? Like, yeah, still lost that game or something like that. And then, like, you know, and you'd have like a place to send all that and post it, and, you know, you could just, maybe it's, I don't know, this is just a thought. It's just an example of something that, you know, would bring the social aspect back into it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that a lot of people don't realize is that, like, you know, we do have integration with Facebook and Twitter already with Planeswalker Points within our achievement system. But, like, most of the people who are already, you know, and this might be something to think about and talking about future work, like that, if we ever did an app or something like that. But, like, most of the time when people win a PTQ, you know, the guy hasn't even stopped crying yet, and the guy who won is already, like, typing ding on Facebook, and all of his friends are congratulating him. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, people aren't going to, you know, that's the social area right there where we would like to see people using Wizards tools to be able to share that with their friends and be like, you know, like, look, you know, still had all these, and be able to get, you know, get over on that. But there's just a lot of moving parts at Wizards and a lot of teams doing a lot of projects that entail the use of many different teams. So there's never just like a dedicated time where you can just be like, oh, okay, well, let's start this today. You know, I mean, we have plans and we have strategic objectives, and, you know, we have to follow those. But it's the matter of me personally, as the producer of Planeswalker Point, I really think that we have an opportunity to make it a much better product.
Nice. Okay. Well, I'm excited to see where it ends up, truth be told.
I mean, so am I. I mean, it's my thing is that if I have people on Twitter hitting me up and being like, hey, thank you so much for this, or this is awesome, or even, you know, this sucks, I want to get all that feedback, because when it boils down to it, it's the people who are using this day to day that matter to me personally.
Sure.
I want to be able to help delight their Magic experience, because I spent so many years on the other side of the coin. It's like, I really feel that, like, when I got this job at Wizards, that I was able to use that to do something great. And it's still very early in my tenure there, but, you know, we have plenty of time to do that.
Sweet. All right. Well, if you guys have any questions about Planeswalker Points or any of that stuff for Tony, you guys need to make sure that that you hit him up. And they can reach you on Twitter, right?
Yep. TPUPAZ. TPUPAZ.
Perfect.
Now, just because I lived in Arizona for so many years, I added AZ to everything.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I actually thought it was Poopas.
See? It's the worst. Now I don't feel bad about beating you in that Grand Prix, KYT.
Hey, we got to help with this podcast, help you reach that goal, your personal goal to reach 1,000 followers. So hopefully the A-Team Army will help in that.
I posted that the other day. I was like, hey, I want to get to 1,000 followers. If I could have just gotten, I was going to go down to people's desks and be like, hey, will you retweet this? Because, like, Air Force has got like 40, like Mario's got like 40,000 followers. I'm like, dude, I'll take 5% of those, please. I just want people to hear my dribble. That's all.
So you also are starting you've started a blog for yourself, right?
Yeah, I did. it's really just a personal, I had this domain, I had paliaco.com, my last name, and it just sat there forever. And so I finally decided that it seems like in the tech industry, the bigger the blowhard you are, the better, the more well-known you get. And everyone blogs. So I just figured I'd start up my blog where I talk about magic and poker and technology, talk about spinal cord injury stuff, you know, because Mariah, autism stuff for my son. So it's going to be actually the weirdest blog you've ever seen, because you go from seeing a poker post to seeing an autism post in like, you know, one page. And so I'm going to be all over the place with that. But yeah, it's going to be fun at least.
Sweet. Very, very exciting.
You think?
I mean, you do have this sweet thing up there right now, this mana calculator.
Yeah, that was something I actually built for the Wizards employees, because we have an internal like employee league that we play in. And a lot of people, like there's a group of people at Wizards who play Magic and have played before. So like, you know, we got Jackie Lee and Adam Prozac and Forsyth, the Humphreys, Worth, all them. And so they know, they've played a lot. They know what they're doing. But then you also have like, you know, Sydney in accounting or whatever, who just showed up, you know, has never played Magic before, is learning. And one of the biggest areas they have problems with is like, well, how many lands do I put in? And so I was talking to a few people and I played this one guy. And he was like, I keep getting land screwed. And I'm like, well, how big is your deck? And he's like, well, it's 52 cards.
Stop.
He's like, I know it should be 40, but he's like, I've got really good cards. And I'm like, okay, well, new player, that's fair. I get it. I'm like, how many land are you running? He's like, I got 13. He's like, I'm good. I was like, let me see your deck. So I go through his deck and it's like 6-drop, 7-drop, 6-drop, 5-drop, 6-drop, 5. I'm like, okay, we need to talk. So I whipped up this mana calculator that essentially lets you just put in the number of mana symbols in your deck for each color, plus the number of non-land spells in your deck, and then it'll, with a degree of accuracy, give you a 17 or 18 land count to what to play. And then, like, so I put it online, and it's been getting a lot of traffic, and it's great for new players. And then I got, like, Pascal Maynard is like, hey, you know, what about fetch lands and dual lands? And I'm like, look, oh, yeah. I'm like, this is for new players. I'm like, if you need to tell you what to do about fetch lands, I'm like, you got a bigger problem, okay? And so, and then, like, you know, Arizona players, I posted in there, and they're like, you know, well, what about colorless mana? I'm like, well, it doesn't matter when you play colorless mana. I was like, really? So the people that the tool was built for, it has been working great for. I've gotten a lot of compliments at work about it. I've got a lot of compliments from the Lady Planeswalker Society that my friend Tifa runs. You know, and they said that it's been really helpful. And it's supposed to be for a new player. It's not supposed to be for like degens like us.
I still thought it was pretty neat. I fired in some crazy numbers and it spit out a bunch of land, so it was good.
Well, the problem is and I had to turn this, I have to turn this off. I haven't turned it off yet, is that whenever someone uses the mana calculator, it emails me and tells me someone used it. It's like a little ego boost for me. and then if someone jacks it up, I get a bug report so I can like fine tune the code behind it. And yeah, that's an issue. And I'm definitely turning it off before this podcast goes live.
I would suggest that.
Yes.
All right, sweet. So we played some Magic this weekend. So KYT was in town, which is so awesome, because I never get to see my KYT, and it makes me really happy when I do. He came in town and stayed with me for a couple days, and we ended up going to a modern 6K on Saturday. KYT ended up doing coverage for manadeprived.com. And I went to play my good old faithful Blue Art Red Geist. So the deck was basically exactly as it was for, you know, when the last time I posted it. I think I changed, like, I cut an Electrolyze to try out a Jeskai Charm, and I played 3 Strand, 3 Tarn, and 2 Mesa instead of for Mesa and for Tarn. So, like, slightly better chance that I'm able to pull basic planes mm-hmm. in the face of a potential Blood Moon outburst, so that was cool. But otherwise, I think it was fine. The mana base was perfectly fine. I never had any issues getting what I needed in terms of colors. Jeskai Charm is okay. I don't know if it's actually better than Electrolyze in a lot of situations, but maybe the versatility makes it potentially worth the slot, but I'd never want more than one. I was playing pretty well. I was X1 going into the third last round, and I was poised to, you know, win and then, you know, it was basically like win and then draw would have been fine or something like that. Anyway, so I lost to Tyler Longo locally, who was playing the new Jeskai Ascension deck.
How is that?
So, have you ever played against eggs?
No, it looks like I'd rather have a 3-week root canal.
I love to play eggs.
You like to play eggs? You would love this deck because it is basically eggs. It's fucked up in that the deck is so resilient. Like, you can, so, game one, I had a draw of 3 lightning bolts for 3 consecutive mana guys and still lost. Mostly because I couldn't clock him in time, but that's fine. If it had been like bolt, bolt, geist, bolt, probably would have won, but no geist, no time. Game two, I ended up getting a hand of like bolt, bolt, remand, remand, geist, and lands. I won that game. And then the third game, I mulliganed to 6. I kept a land. I kept a hand of Path to Exile, Remand, Snapcaster Mage, whatever the hell else, but like Colonnade and Scalding Tarn. So I'm on the draw. He's on the play. I'm looking at my hand to play my first land. I'm like, okay, well, I play a Path. Like if I play the Scalding Tarn here, then I'm going to play it, I'm going to crack it, I'm going to shock, I'm going to be able to play my Path to Exile on his turn 1 mana dork. But then I do fuck stone nothing for 2 turns. So I think my best bet is to try to like remain flexible. There's no fucking way he's going to possibly go off on turn 2. So I play the Colonnade tapped. So he's like, well, I guess I got to try it. And tries to go off turn 2. Okay? Proceeds to almost go off turn 2. His almost going off, of course, results, because like they play infinite like probes and shit like that, so they're like they always see what's in your hand. And so he ends up playing Meddling Mage out of his sideboard and just says Path to Exile and then says go. Like he does a whole bunch of shit, like tries to go off, falls short, so just decides to end with resolving a Meddling Mage on Path to Exile.
What did he have? Did he hit you for anything?
No. Okay. No. So then he passes. So then I untap and I play my fetch land and I'm like, go. Because I'm like, now I have path and well, I can't play path, but now I at least have remand, right?
Okay.
I've played 2 lands. Okay. And he proceeds to go off and kill me. through my remand.
Okay, so the deck's... It sounds like the kind of matchup where you find out your opponent's playing that, you just order a pizza, wait for it to show up, eat it, and then by the time you're done with it, the turn 2 is over.
Yeah, yeah. So he ended up taking 2nd place overall. I was still live for top 16 after that loss. I beat my next opponent. And then my last round opponent, I was playing against White-Red Burn. And it was a somewhat unconventional list. And it was playing like Boros Charms, Lightning Helixes, Lightning Bolts, Rift Bolts. And then he was playing like Goblin Guides and Keldar Marauders and Hellspark Elementals and 2 copies of Deflecting Palm, by the way.
Ooh, that's a thing.
So game one, I lose to my own Lightning Bolt off of Deflecting Palm. Game two, I crush my opponent. Game three, I lose to my own Lightning Helix off Deflecting Palm.
Now, see, Mariah just laughed. I was going to ask him. I was going to be polite and ask him, can we laugh about this?
Yeah, no, it's fine. Thankfully, my opponent did not ask me, why am I hitting myself? Because that probably would not have ended well. I also knew the kid. So we were having a good match, like a good game. There was a lot of good banter going back and forth. And like I enjoyed the match. It was fun. But, yeah, that Deflecting Palm, man. He was holding up, and I thought for sure it was Skullcrack. So I'm like playing around Skullcrack. No, it was Deflecting Palm. If I had just like gotten aggressive, anyways, fine, fuck, whatever, it happens. So like daggers all around. But no, the deck ended up taking second, the Ascendancy deck. And it only lost because it was playing against like a hard blue, white, red control deck with like multiple Anger of the Gods and mana leaks and all that sort of shit. The natural foil to the deck is Jund. So like the Black Thoughtseize decks are going to do really well against it. Because they just like strip all your pieces.
How many people?
There were, I don't know, it was 8 rounds.
Well, that's fair. Maybe a couple hundred.
It was just shy. It was fine.
It was 132 roughly.
Oh, so it's just over. But like there were, so, but here's the interesting piece about that deck. Like there were 5 people, I think, playing it, and only one of them made top 8. The rest of them basically failed. So I don't know whether they just had the wrong version of the deck. Like, cause there are definitely things that you can do that are proper and things that you can do that are not. Like grape shotting your opponent, I think, is a mistake in that deck. When you can just use like, you can just Glittering Wish for Flesh and Blood and just like fucking, you know, fireball your opponent with your 20 power mana dork.
Yeah, I think, I mean, one of the things that I've seen though with a lot of things, especially this early in like the season, is that like I've been guilty of this a bunch where I just see a deck that's doing well, I pick it up and be like, oh, well, I'm going to go 9-0 with it too. And then I get crushed.
Yep.
And so it's probably there's like a level of like practice that needs to go into that deck to get comfortable, sort of like Ascension, like Pyromancer Ascension or anything like that. It's not, you know, these decks require practice. You need to know what's a good hand and what's a bad hand.
Agree. So KYT had a chance. So Noah Long actually was playing at the tournament. So I was fortunate enough to be able to defeat Noah Long's well-regarded blue-white merfolk deck in 2 games. I beat Noah Long in 2 games. Felt real good. I was like terrified, petrified. I'm like, I'm out. Noah's a master. I'm out.
Is a thing now?
What?
Is Merfolk in Modern a thing?
It has been for some time, and his blue white version is actually very good. It is basically like top 4 or better every single tournament he's ever played with it in.
Fair. I will fish.
Yeah. So the deck is very good. I got quite lucky. My draws were fine. His first one was not. So I got pretty fortunate. We got to talking. We're going to see that deck on stream. I'll be playing it with him at some point soon. So we made those arrangements, which is sweet. But he ended up actually taking the Ascension deck, the Ascendancy deck, and piling it the next day at an invitational that was happening at the same site. Now, KYT, talk to me about that. How did that look? Like, you had a chance to talk to him afterwards, right?
Yeah. I mean, just to continue from what Tony was saying, like, people in the MDSS, the Super Series on the Saturday, like, from me personally watching other Ascendancy players, they just didn't know what they were doing. So I didn't put really much stock in them not making top 8. I covered John Booten, a known player here, and I covered one of his feature matches, and he just mulliganed to 5 both games to lose the match. Otherwise, maybe he would have won against Affinity, which is one of the best matches because they don't really interact with you unless they have Galvanic Blast in their hand. And you can easily play around that with having more mana dorks. So I was very impressed by the deck itself, by covering it on Saturday. And Noah was just watching with us the finals of the Saturday tournament, and he was blown away. He was blown away by losing to you that he was going to put Geist. Like, his tech was to put Geist in the Merfolk deck because he was tired. He's like, why am I not playing that guy if I'm getting completely crushed?
And I gave him an angel token, right? So, like, we have those angel tokens that we made for Boston with Larry Swayze, Jason, and myself on it. And so I was like, yeah, here, you know, here's a token. He's like, oh, thanks. And it came to me later, and he's like, so I was looking at your token, and it came to me. He's like, why am I not playing Geist of St. Draft? And I thought for a minute, the way he was pitching it to me, that he was fucking with me. Like, I thought for sure I was being taken on a Noah Long ride here, right? And now he's like, yeah, seriously. Yeah, I put 1 in the main deck and I have 3 in the sideboard. I'm just like, what? Good on you. Cards are really good right now. Anyways, it was funny.
You just brought back memories because I love Larry Swayze. He's a great guy.
Yes, he is.
That dude, I feel so, again, like, we played like in, when we were in New England, we were living in New England for 2 years. We had to, you know, we grinded. A typical weekend for us was we would leave Maine, go to Rhode Island, play in a PTQ, lose, drive to Jersey, play in a Sunday PTQ, lose, and then drive back Sunday night back to Maine.
Sure.
And every PTQ that me and Larry Swayze went into, round two we'd get paired, at least three in a row.
Wow.
Every single time. And these are like big PTQs. This isn't like 40 people in like, you know, some random place.
Yeah, he's a really good dude. He actually has been a very welcome friendship to make in the Magic community. He's a very good dude. So
agreed.
Yeah, and an exceptional Magic player. So that's also very good. But yeah, it's so the deck's really ridiculous. This ascendancy thing is dumb. Noah ended up tweaking it up, and yeah, he took it to the thing on Sunday, and he won the thing. I don't think it was particularly close either.
Initially, I thought it was like people were playing it slow because it was hard to play, but you still need to go through the motions and go into the tank quite a bit. But it does kill faster than eggs.
Yeah.
So I like it. And I mean, he talked to me and he did a few changes. He didn't like Grape Shot. He rather having Glittering Wish fetch the Flesh and Blood from the sideboard. He didn't like Dryad Arbor in the deck. And now he's moving towards, like, now that people are prepared for it, what to do to even make it better. So adding ley lines, which is something that Eggs did, and other, even Boggles. I think Reed Duke played Eggs, played ley lines in the Players' Championship a year ago or 2 years ago to fight against the Jund Menace. And, you know, Noah's doing that too. And you need Path to exile now because Lynn Viola is just one of the cards that cannot be answered by Swan Song, which is basically your answer to everything else, like whether it be Anger of the Gods, Path to Exile, Lightning Bolt, Swan Song, just answers everything. You don't, but I did see in the coverage match like that we saw together, Scott, the Jeskai deck does take a lot of pain from its land base because of Mana Confluence and fetch lands and
yep,
lands coming in, shock lands coming into play untapped, that the 2/2 is actually relevant. So,
totally. It helped me win my game 2 against Tyler, for sure.
Yeah. So it's not that like straight out insane, because I've seen like in the finals where Tyler could have, instead of Swan Songing an Anger of the Gods, he could have let it resolve because Casper, so the eventual winner, had Snapcaster Mage and another 2/2 bird that from a previous Swan Song. So if you let that resolve, maybe it buys him more time to, because Casper only had one card left, buys him more time to draw more cards and, you know, try to combo off later. So in some situations, Swan Song isn't exactly the card that you want, but other than that, it's been phenomenal. And I posted my article, wrote an article with Noah, as Scott may have mentioned. And on Reddit, a lot of people are just like, oh, this deck's not going to be resilient. I think it's going to get hated out. I'm not so sure about that. I mean, a lot of known players have pitched in that blue-red Delver might be the worst matchup. And I can see that because you have cheap threads followed by Reman and cheap counterspells.
Sure.
But it's not really one of the main decks of the metagame right now. So no one played it on Saturday, as far as I know, that I saw. So that's not a big threat, whereas Jund and Junk is being played, so yeah. I worry about those.
I think like the card that's really gonna damage this deck pretty heavily, if you can actually resolve a Chalice of the Void for one, I don't think this deck can ever win. I just don't think it ever wins ever.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So that's something. And I mean, like, I'd say, you know, Engineered Explosives is a thing, but like ultimately you have to have 3 mana. And I mean, if you have 3 mana, you're probably dead. And if you're not, then they're probably going to win, or you probably win anyway. So, I don't know. It's strange. Like, they have Abrupt Decay out of the board, I guess, and they have Tear out of the board for Glittering Wish. So I guess it's not a stone lock.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeesh.
No, I'm seeing the second version that he's got of the deck now. And like, I think it looks like a pretty tight list for it. You know what I mean? In terms of what they're trying to do. But the thing is that And see, I'm glad I see that the silence is in his second version of this, because that was the same thing I was wondering, if silence was an option for this deck besides Leyline.
Yeah, and like two main deck kind of help with that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's that's pretty standard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see a lot of cards in this deck. A lot of cards. Scarsco Ritual, I think, is like kind of cute. I get that it's like a two mana draw too, but
has this ever been played previously? I had to look it up, this card.
I think I played it in Limited. Like, I played it during Shadowmoor Limited.
I've never seen this card before. And I'm old as hell.
But yeah, it's a very, very, very resilient deck. Sam Pardee was just tweeting to say that where was it? 4-0'd the Modern Daily event with Ascension, despite the fact I could only find three of them to use. Deck is real broken. So,
the Podmaster.
Listen, you know what? Larry's messaging as well, and he's just like, look, he's like, I don't want to say that I'm abandoning Geist, but let's just say that I need to learn the Jeskai deck to punish WotC. Like, everybody is basically taking this as a personal mission to, like, prevent dumb, broken combo cards like this to ever be made again. So,
for the
we'll
record,
see.
Don't work in that department. Got nothing to do with it.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was a hell of a weekend. And then we had a good time. We got to sit up all night on, all night. Fuck, I went to bed early because I'm an old man, but we had to sit up on Sunday, and KYT and I were just sitting there across the table from one another with our computers open and just, like, laughing at these people on social media all night. So, like, my wife doesn't follow the same people that I do, so when shit goes down, you know, it's just like, I laugh, and she doesn't get it, and then I gotta take the time to explain it to her, and it's just like, why am I doing this? So, KYT was sitting there, and of course, things are happening, and he just giggles, and I laugh, and then he laughs. And then, like, he types something, and I laugh, and then I type something, and like, it was just, it was so funny. It was like, you know, the quiet old couple sitting there just, like, giggling to their own in-jokes. And it was a good time. We had a good night.
The only thing that would have been better if I could have made it up there for it.
Truth. Absolute truth. Well, we're going to come back to when you're coming, because this is a thing. So, KYT, any other, like, thoughts on that weekend?
I mean, we played. It was the visiting the face-to-face game stores was really sweet.
I was gonna go there next. By all means, please go.
I mean, I got to see it for the first time, and it's a pretty. It's one of the better looking stores I've been to. I haven't been to like the famous Card Kingdom, but. Face-to-face games, Kelly had it done pretty well, and I was impressed by the setup and the layout and everything, like free board games, couches, free Wi-Fi, like it was, I know, I was impressed, and we decided to battle, so that was awesome. Me and you decided to pick up a random clan, like pre-release box that they had around, and I decided to take Jeskai because I thought that it was one of the more underrated clans. After I played my pre-release, I picked Abzan like most people did. But Jeskai has just like a lot of tricks, a lot of bounce spells, and a lot of flyers, and which Scott and I both agree flyers are a pretty big thing in this format, even if they're just like 2/1s for three, which in other formats may seem like not that great of a deal, but in this one, you can sort of either bounce, like out-tempo them via bounce, or just stall the ground with a big fatty and just keep crushing in with the flyers. So I took Jeskai and Scott took Abzan. And you know, I constructed it. I had two Water Worlds. So Scott with his
two.
Outlast. Yeah,
you
I had two.
No wonder you kept seeing it all the time, you motherfucker.
It's just the Abzan strategy with its Outlast. On paper, when we did the show and revealed all the mechanics, I thought Outlast was going to be insane in Limited because, like, okay, you hit a board stall or you shred each other's cards or hands, and then, you know, one guy has an Outlast guy that will eventually become the biggest threat on the board. But Outlast tends to be too slow most of the time. And the best Outlast cards are just ones that you sort of don't even need to outlast that many times for it to be insane. Like the 2-3 that becomes a 3-4, that's one of the best ones that you can have. There's another one that I can't think of that I really like. I think it's the... Actually, all the white ones that give extra abilities, whether it's like flying, okay, first strike, or
so my strike. My pool includes... Okay, my deck includes two Abzan Falconers, which are the 2-3 with Outlast for one white, okay? And they give your creatures 1-1, all your 1-1 creature, blah, blah. Each creature you control with a 1-1 counter on it is flying. I have an Anok Bondkin, which gives all of them first strike. I have Salt Road Patrol. I've got, hold on, where are we here? I end up with three Mardu Horde Chiefs, which are the 2-3 raid creatures for white 2, and when they come into play, you put a 1-1 white warrior token into play.
Those guys are insane.
They're insane. I had three of them. I'm like, what the hell are we even doing here? What are we even doing here? I had the third one, the red 2-drop with raid that comes into play with a 1-1 counter on it, Warname Aspirant. I had two of the rare green card, which lets me harden scales, I think it was.
Oh, yes. That was the scary card.
Two of them. I had the... Anyways, my deck was like crazy. I also had the black, I had no cuts, which was frustrating, but I also had the Mur-Elk Nightblade, so like all my creatures with 1-1 counters got Death Touch. I had two of the 1-drop 0-4 Outlast guy. Like, my deck seemed insane. It seemed insane. And under like any other normal circumstances, probably would have been. With the exception being is that like a triple bounce pool is probably going to ruin me. And spoiler, it did. Even my absolute stonest nut draw, okay, it was still so close and so good. I had Swarm of Bloodflies, for God's sakes. I had everything. My pool was insane and just couldn't do it.
Which is the Swarm of Bloodflies? Is that the one that comes in with 2+1/+1 counters?
Yeah, whenever another creature dies, you put another one on it?
Yeah, I had that in play today in a league game, and my opponent was playing Outlast creatures, so he was like, Outlast, and then play a dude. Outlast, Outlast, play a dude. So he's got like 6 to my 2 on board, and then so I dropped the one you just mentioned. What was it called again?
Swarm of Bloodflies?
Yeah, I played the Swarm, and then followed up with the next turn. Crap, what was the...
Tell me it was Dune Blast.
The Azvan Wrath.
Keep this guy. Kill your shit.
I'm just like, nine you? Can I go lunch now? Are we done here?
Oh, man. I had a Butcher of the Horde in my deck, which I never saw once. Like, I don't know. We played like a pile of games, and I just got fucking killed every time. It made me sad.
We played like I won 5-1. I also had like, did you mention the 1,000 wins guy? Like...
No, I actually just like intentionally blocked that out of my mind.
He's also insane against Outlast guys. It's like, reset all your work. Fuck.
The worst part is 1,000 wins returns the tapped creatures. So even the ones that I'm working real hard on and like intentionally not attacking with into like the dumb fucking white kill a guy card, you know? And it's just like, well, I'll just outlast these guys. Put them up to like 9. You're so dead. What are you going to do? And you're like, flip this guy? I'm like, fuck. It was not good. It was not good at all. Made me sad.
Yeah. It's made me love Jeskai a lot.
Yeah, it's made me respect Jeskai a lot more, let me tell you.
See, you guys are better because you're using the proper names like Jeskai and Abzan, and I'm still trying to get used to that. I know, I'm still junk to me.
I'm trying to get used to pronouncing certain of them correctly. Like, Temur instead of, like, Temur. I probably said Temur when it first came out. Or, I think I got Soul Tie correct, so that's good. And
good job.
And wasn't there a different way to pronounce Abzan?
Abzan? Obzon?
I think I got corrected. Someone thinks it's Obzon. So.
It's definitely Abzan.
I worked there, I should know this, but.
It's Abzan. That's what they said at the community cup.
Right, damn right it is.
I call it junk.
Whatever day nine said, that works. He won with it, so. Who did he beat? Who did he beat in the? Oh, you beat you, Mariah.
Fuck you. He beat me too, bitch. Yeah, he beat me too. Beat me in the semis.
I was watching him stream, and he had a turtle, and he was trying to put the femur inside the head, and it was just like, it was the funniest thing, because this poor turtle's all messed up.
I think that's something you have to do, because I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
It is, but it was just so funny.
It's funny watching him stream. It's like, have you ever watched Mystery Science Theater 3000? And yes. I'm dating myself, but that watching him stream is exactly like watching Mystery Science Theater 3000 for video games.
I never thought about that, but you're right.
It's
it is
so insane, so insane. I watched him play Wastelands 2, and he just started the game. I turned on the stream, and he just starting it, and he's like creating all his characters and naming some of them after like people in the chat, and he's just going deep. It's hilarious. Like one of them was named Manbon, and one of them's named, you know, whatever. And he's just like, yeah, man, Bond, fucking get him! And just yelling, it's so funny. I was crying. I was laughing so hard. So, yeah, Day 9 earns every bit of, you know, stream notoriety that he has, man. He really is a really amazing entertainer. So, good on him.
And getting the chance to actually hang with him for a bit at the Community Cup, he is definitely Day 9 all the time.
All what you see the is what, time.
Yeah, what you see is what you get.
I feel like he'd get more viewers if he wore his sassy socks all the time.
Likely. Very likely.
Mariah, have you ever seen old pictures of Day 9? I've seen them, and he looks like this, like, from his StarCraft days. He looks like one of those, like, anime... Like, he has this haircut that's, like, almost straight out of Final Fantasy VII.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, now I'm looking.
Like,
come on, internet.
I Googled old pics of Day 9, and I got pictures of kittens feeding off their mom. I got two giraffes kissing, and I've got...
Oh my God, a baby rat.
Yeah, baby rat. Yeah, I'm not looking for the right stuff.
Wow. If you go to his Liquipedia page, yeah, it's pretty up there. Huh.
I want a Wikipedia page.
Oh, is that an old picture of Day 9 right there?
Okay, I'm gonna find this one.
It's impressive.
Okay, there's one if you type Day 9 StarCraft and just go to Google Images, there's one of them that just like, who is this guy? And where did he go?
Oh, wow. Oh my.
Whoa.
They're not all the most flattering pictures, but they're definitely entertaining.
They certainly are.
Oh, I'm not sleeping tonight, so.
Yeah, he really was such an amazing guy to hang out with, though.
Everyone was amazing to hang out that weekend. I mean, for that weekend, me and Mariah felt like we were back in the scene again.
Oh, it was awesome.
Wow. Yes, such fond memories.
Flurgan.
Oh, yes.
The Flurgan. All about the Flurgan. Wowza. So, did you guys watch any of the Star City coverage this weekend? Do you guys do that anymore?
Nope.
No, we do.
Oh, I didn't watch.
I haven't watched much of the streams lately because I've just been busy and stuff's been going on. But, like, we did watch the finals of the Invitational in the hospital, and we were watching Ben Friedman just tear everyone up as he was playing for Team Panda that weekend. And the finals came with to be, you know, Tom Ross and Ben in the finals, and I just looked at Mariah, and she had just gotten back into bed, and they just loaded her up on painkillers, and she's loopy beyond belief. And so I'm like, Mariah, I'm like, Ben's in the finals. And she's like, really? Yeah. And so I'm like, all right, well, you're useless now. Watch the stream. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, Ben's playing black, white. And then I look and I'm like, oh, snap. Tom's playing red. This is over. And that was when I was giving Tom crap about that, because Ben said that he was going to donate his token if he won. He was going to make the token a panda for Mariah.
Oh, nice.
So I told Tom on the bus ride when we were going to the walk the ducks or whatever it's called,
ride the ducks.
I told him, I was like, dude, I'm like, you know, you ruined this for Mariah. I was trying to like just joke with him a little bit. And, you know, Tom, he's just a man of few words, but they're funny words.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, you know, yeah, you ruined this, dude. She was going to have a panda. And he's like, well, my token looks cool. And I'm like, okay, thanks, dude. I'm like, thanks, buddy. Appreciate the love.
That's funny. Yeah, he just got his artwork for his token that day, too. Did it just come in?
Didn't he show it to us when we were at the, when we were having beverages?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I seem to recall that being the case.
It was good. It's a good token.
Yeah, it is.
I thought it was funny that we were getting dinner the last day, and everybody's like eating, talking, having fun, and Tom Ross is sitting there with his phone next to his head, listening to the Star City coverage, and then I'm like tilting my head, trying to look at it. Everybody else is like having a blast, and we're just like, oh my gosh, is Brad Nelson gonna win? Is he gonna win? Oh, he
lost. We were doing that at the last Community Cup. Me, Scotty, who was with us? You, me, Paul, Tom. We were watching the infect matchups.
Yeah,
yeah, and like people in the lobby are looking at us like we're freaks because we're all huddled around this little phone and like yelling and laughing and stuff.
Yeah, no, it was like it was next level. It was so good. So Cedric just tweets. So Sam comments with the deck, and Cedric goes, waiting for somebody to win with the deck in Legacy. Same engine with better cantrips and Force of Will. Durr. Well, that'll be interesting. Certainly. Yeah, with dual lands, you don't take as much damage. Ooh.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. This could be a thing. How many cantrips are there? Oof. Anyways, wowza. Wowza, that's something to do. Make some money. Print your Benjamins, bitch!
I guess.
Yep. Nice. But yeah, I was asking because Standard is new for us, right? Pro Tour happens next week. Everybody's flying out right now.
Yep.
And there was some pretty sweet stuff that happened. There were lots of really neat deck lists that came out. We looked at, obviously, it was a double Standard weekend, so there were actually two full opens. Well, actually, it wasn't double Standard, it was just double open weekend. There was one in Indy, and then one that happened in Jersey. So they had coverage for the one in Jersey, which ended up being won by, I can't even remember.
Well, are you talking about Edison or Indy?
Edison, because Indy was won by, like, Indy was like mono Abzan.
Edison was Jeskai Burn.
Thank you. That, yes, right. And with the Mardu midrange in the semis.
Right.
So lots of sweet decks that came out, and the Jeskai Burn deck looks really neat. It's like for those of you that were wondering what a tempo or control style deck was going to look like, you've got that now. Very similar to a list that Tomoharu Saito posted, of course, on his Twitter. Good old Saito posting all of his deck lists all the time. Tilted E for a little bit. That's fine.
Did you happen to see the Black White Super Friends deck that made top 16?
No.
Now this was one that caught my eye because it stood out from all the rest. I mean, I'm sure you can find the list on. I actually just messaged it to you, but this is a list that I really, if I was playing Standard, this would be up my alley. I might not win, but it'd be up my alley.
Oh, that's where it is. Okay. 4 Elspeth Suns Champion, 1 Liliana Vest, 4 Sorin Solemn Visitor, 2 Banishing Light, 3 Vile Blight, 4 End Hostilities, 4 Downfall, 2 Last Breath, 4 Sign and Blood, 4 Thoughtseize, 2 Utter End. Interesting. Dan Jessup piloted that list, I see.
I don't know who Dan Jessup is.
He's a stalwart on the Open Series.
I mean, it stood out because first off, it's everything else in this tournament is like, you know, tokens or devotion or junk mid range decks or, you know, some rabble reds. And this one and then the Teamer Super Friends deck are the two that like stick out as being like the only original brews that like really seemed to came out of it.
Yeah. I'm actually really impressed by Frank Lepore, good old, since we're on the like alumni comment. He actually posted an article today on TCG where he was just like winning like crazy with this Teamer mid-range deck that he built. And it's, where is it here? Yeah. So basically it's like, I've been playing with it a little online and it looks fine. Like it's a 4 Courser, 3 Polychronos, 3 Rattleclaw Mystic, 4 Savage Knuckleblades, 1 Surak Dragonclaw, so spicy, 4 Caryatid, 2 Chandra Pyromaster, 2 Kiora, 2 Nissa, 3 Sarkhan, 2 Sagumauler, which I think should basically just be Stormbreath Dragon. Actually, I think it should be 3 Stormbreath Dragon, 2 Sarkhan, but whatever. 4 Lightning Strike, 2 Teamer Charm, and 24 lands. It's pretty sweet. The deck looks pretty good. You curve it out, it looks fine. Kiora is kind of the question mark, and is she good or is she not? I don't know. What do you guys think? I've never played a Kiora in my life.
Really?
Never played one.
Kiora is the nut high in so many ways. I mean, looking at this list now, I would play this. If I had to pick up something, go to a tournament with, I would definitely consider this. Just I'm not sure how good Chandra Pyromancer is in this deck. Anthony Lowry is probably the only one who really would be happy about that. But
I played the shit out of her in Naya when she first came out. Except she was super good in that deck, but that was like what, 2 years ago. I feel like the +1 damage can be pretty relevant if you're gonna try to save her activations. I don't know, it's weird. Because you have Lightning Strike to deal 3, you got Pyromaster to clean up for 1. You have Sarkhan to deal 4, you have Pyromaster to clean up for 1. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird. And I guess Pyromaster also just kind of works fine with Courser. You can just use it to draw the cards or exile the cards. Like, it's just a value card, really. So I don't know. But definitely potentially cuttable. But, like, Sagumauler and Stormbreath Dragon are, like, undoubtedly the two best finishers that you can be playing in Teamer colors right now. Sagumauler's a house. It's a 6/6 trample hexproof. Guy's, like, ridiculous.
I guess that's okay.
The hexproof is super good.
Now, I'm looking forward to trying these out on Magic Online and seeing just really how powerful they are. Because, I mean, I've always been a control player at heart.
Mm-hmm.
So Super Friends is like sort of the closest I can get to playing control because I don't know if there's a good control deck in this format right now. I mean, it's just something that we're going to have to wait over time and see if it's good or not.
Agree. I think that there's some sweet cards like that we saw come out of the Jeskai Temple list, like Stubborn Denial. No, not blah, 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 blah. Where are you? What's the 4 casting cost? Oh god, now I have to go back and read Melissa's article because it's there and my brain is just stupid. There it is. A Disdainful Stroke is a counter spell that's come out of cons, and it's the blue 1 instant counter target spell to convert a mana cost 4 or greater. Super good sideboard card for cons of Tarkir right now. Like, that card demolishes the Teamer deck. And not just the Teamer deck, like counter an Elspeth. Counter, like, it's so good. So good. Siege Rhino. Countering Siege Rhino has got to feel so good.
That's why I'm liking this Dragon Claw guy. He's pretty sweet.
Surak, as a 1-up, yeah. He's pretty spicy, huh?
It's like, can't be stroked, and just like, man, in the old, like, if this existed before, it would have been interesting. A 5-mana 6/6?
Yeah.
That can
with
be
flash.
Countered.
With flash.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's pretty sweet. Like, he competes at the level with, like, infinite 5-drops, but I think that having him floating around in your list is super good. So, yeah, I like it. Clever Impersonator seems like a really sweet card. Triple Anger of the Gods is where I want to be, certainly, for a sideboard right now. And 3 Reclamation Sage, we're talking about that on the show for some time. I think Sage is one of the most valuable cards to have access to in a green sideboard right now. There's just, like, infinity targets for the damn thing. So, Yeah, I need somebody to teach me how to Kiora, because I don't know how to do it.
I can teach.
You can teach me how to Kiora. That'd be good.
Yes.
So.
So what are you laughing about, KYT?
T Poopas will teach you the Poopas way of using Kiora.
But yeah, it's good. So Jeremy wants to potentially join us since he decided to show up late. And I don't know how much we want to punish him and just say no.
Fuck him.
Bring him on and let's punish him verbally.
Would you like to publicly berate him?
I think he would love that.
All right, hold on. Let me add him. Well.
Hello?
Better late than never, huh?
Huh? I got uncled today.
Yeah, but that kid is still going to be there tomorrow.
Yeah, I know, but, I can't let my first impression be in letting the kid down. Like, I've got a whole, lifetime to do that.
You know, the kid's going to fucking remember anyway.
Yeah, well, the kid,
you're like a blob. You can't even see anything.
I think he can see. He's got good eyes.
You could have FaceTimed in or something.
Probably. That probably would have been a better way to do it. Absolutely a better way to do it.
Nice to meet you.
Absolutely. Good to meet you.
Mariah's here, too.
Hi, Mariah.
What's up?
Hey. This is awesome.
Yeah, it has been. Actually, the show's been really good. We've been laughing a lot.
That's good. That's positive. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, do you have any foil spinal grafts?
Foil spinal grafts? What set's that from?
Tempest? Oh, they didn't do foils, did they?
Tempest foils? No, I don't think there was Tempest foils. I think it was Onslaught.
That's too bad. No, well, they were in Urza's, right? So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Foils were in Urza's, I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true. Grafts,
yeah. Anyways. No, I'm just fucking with you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I was just saying, oh, yeah, I got some. Sweet. Can you send them that way?
There's 76 of them on Star City for 15 cents a piece. I'm snapping them all up.
Are you serious?
Snap up.
Oh my god, if you type in the word spinal into Star City, it gives you every card with spinal.
Spinal Embrace?
Spinal Parasite? Spinal Villain? We need to buy the whole set.
You know, I wonder, if we could just have this framed. You buy, the most pimp copy possible of all of the spinal cards, and then we'll just, frame it for you.
That is a thing, because now one of the things that actually happened with the accident and stuff like that is that they held a very big art auction supporting Mariah.
Sweet.
And so we got to meet a lot of really big name artists. And I was Mariah was in the hospital, so she couldn't go, but I went to go represent Team Panda. And I got to meet all these artists who've done amazing cards like Emrakul and Lotus Cobra and Lion's Eye Diamond. And I'm and they're there being all supportive, how's Mariah? You know, how's everything going? Are you okay? And I'm oh my god, you did Lion's Eye Diamond? That's so cool. And they're just looking at me like I'm on crack, and I'm like, can you stop? I'm pulling out cards to have them sign them and stuff. It was awkward.
I remember that night. I felt locked in the laundry room.
Oh yeah, you did.
Had to call you.
Mm-hmm. I'm at the art auction, and Mariah inadvertently locked herself in the laundry room at Children's Hospital with no phone and no way to contact her nurses. And she called me, and I was like, wow, I'll be back in 2 hours. I'm like, good luck.
Have fun.
Sweet. So, Jared, do you play any Magic this week?
No, well, yes. I actually cubed with Boosh and BZ.
Oh, that's right. You went to visit those guys.
Yeah, so I went down there on Friday, and that was the plan, was to go down and pass my L2 test and feel awesome.
Did you?
No, actually I didn't. I went down, I took my L2 test, I failed it just barely.
Oh.
And then I felt terrible, and then I went and played Cube. So that was fun. Because it was Boosh and all of his Boo guys.
Uh-huh.
So it was a really fun time kind of playing with this cube. His cube's really done up nice. It's pretty much mono foil and all done up nice. So it was a lot of fun. only lost to Boosh. He was playing some crazy World Knit contraption, like a World Knit aggro deck, so that seemed fair.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it was all right. Like, it was good just getting a chance to kind of hang out with him. You know, it's not something I've really had an opportunity to do, so you know, we just buddied up, had dinner, played some cube.
Nice.
But yeah, the test was disappointing.
Yeah.
I was too cocky going into it, I think. So
that doesn't serve anyone.
No. And it's, you know, just like some of the aspect of it, like there's 50 questions on it. 35 of them are pretty much play scenarios. And like that stuff's really easy to me because I've been playing the game forever. So it's just so many situations where it's like, okay, I've never had these two cards, but I've had these two effects happen and I can like go back and understand how it plays out and stuff. And it really helped for that kind of stuff. But where I got like just slaughtered was in the actual policy side of things. Because anytime I'm just judging, if I come into a situation where I have to like lay down a penalty on person, I just pull out my phone and look at the IPG and, you know, deliver the correct ruling that way. And that's something I always do, is I always take out my phone and I look at the IPG and I make sure, you know, it's like, okay, this is drawing extra cards at the beginning of the game, which is different than drawing extra cards or whatever the case may be. So you're able to kind of hone in on those things. Where on the test, they're like, okay, so, you know, does this fall into drawing extra cards or is this, you know, improperly drawing at the start of a game? And it's just like, I don't know. Let me pull out my phone and I'll tell you, but I can't. It's closed book test. So, I fell apart in the IPG stuff. I had a lot of stuff that I thought was close. It was really rough because I missed it by two questions, and there were two questions that were literally the case of if I had actually just stopped and read the question, I would have gotten it right. But, you know, I just skimmed through it. One of the cases where it was like a card does something and I thought it did something else, like the opposite, the inverse of what the card did. So my answer was the inverse of right. Which was awkward.
Yeah. And wrong.
So a few of those types of spots there. And it's kind of rough because there's so many tools like in a Grand Prix scenario and stuff like that. The questions that they were asking policy wise were questions that you would 100% take out your phone with. That higher level judges like the L2s, the L3s that I've worked at GPs with would have definitely, you know, pulled out their phone to verify type thing. And you know that these complicated questions, you're not getting to use that. So it's kind of like this phone has been a crutch for me. So I can't retest until Boxing Day. So any judging I do between now and then, it's just going to be, I'm going to put the phone in my bag and not bring it out on the floor. And I'm going to go without having the playbook and see if I remember it.
I have two questions for you on that. Cool. On that. Yep. First off, you are going to take the L2 again, correct?
Oh, 100%.
All right, because the one thing that I think that is important is that our judging community is really awesome, and it's really good when it continues to grow and people try and get up to that next level. So good for you for going for that L2 again.
Yeah.
The other thing is, and I'll just show my ignorance, what's Boxing Day?
Oh, Boxing Day is a Canada thing.
It's December 26th. It's also a statutory holiday, and it's basically the equivalent of Black.
It's our Black Monday. Friday.
It's our Black Friday. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Our Black Friday, the day after Christmas. Okay.
So it's interesting because the people that all the stores open at like 6 o'clock. So you in the morning. So it's interesting because Christmas everything's closed, right? Like Boxing Day, everything's closed, but. There's a lot of people that still shop, especially those that aren't up late celebrating Christmas, that may be of, you know, a non-Christmas celebrating denomination, for example, that might like shopping and buying stuff. So it's often, like, very, very busy. There are lineups. There are door-crashing lineups. So, like, if you get up early in the morning and you want to get that new, like, 42-inch LED Samsung TV, you show up for the door crasher, and there's, like, 25 of them on the floor for $150.
Yeah, it's actually one of our Christmas traditions in my family, like my wife and I, is that after we've finished doing all the Christmas festivities with her parents and stuff like that, we drive by a place called Vision Electronics. It's kind of like a Canadian Fry's.
Okay.
To see the people lining up for the door crashers for Boxing Day the next day. So it's like after dinner, we drive over and there's usually like four or five people who are sitting in lawn chairs lining up to get themselves like a $200 50-inch TV.
I did that one year doing the Black Friday experience.
Yeah.
I would rather get a second and third job than ever wait in line again.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
I would rather panhandle every afternoon from 5 p.m. till 8 p.m. and get the money just to buy it full price.
Do it. It seems fun.
Panhandle? It's not fun.
It's not fun.
You know what? Some lineups can be fun. Most of them aren't. Because I used to do like the console lineups, and some of those were fun. It's usually like once you get to like 3 o'clock in the morning and everyone's just tired of hating each other, hating everyone else, that everyone just starts to get along. You know, everyone gets giddy. And that's when it gets fun. And then like that's when you start to see the people who like thought, you know, oh, maybe if I show up an hour or two early, I'll be able to have a chance at getting something like this, and them showing up and like the whole group like just kind of laughing at their ignorance.
Well, there's that feel good, like that feel good moment at the beginning where it's like, yeah, it's 2 a.m. We're all going to do this together. And by like 5 a.m., you're just like ready to elbow, you know, put up your elbow into someone's throat just to get in line first.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That could reel faster than all you guys.
That's the secret. We'll bring Mariah and just run over people.
Seriously. Excuse me. Pardon me. Excuse me. Pardon me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me.
Isn't this like something out of, do you guys watch The Guild? Felicia Day's like World of Warcraft theme?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, isn't there like that actual storyline from there? Like one of the seasons where it's like the evil group or whatever like that are trying to get the expansion before the other group. And they got the one girl with the wheelchair and they use that to like get themselves up to the front of the line.
Yeah, that was just off.
But see, when we were in Seattle for the Community Cup, when you guys were up, you know, and Scotty, when you were here for the community, and we were in Seattle, there was that extra benefit of where we were in some place in Seattle, and there was like a huge, huge pile of people, and everyone's pushing and shoving, and we come strolling in, and they see Mariah, and she like parts the Red Sea like some mystical god, and they all get out of our way. We're just like, oh my god, this is amazing.
That's pretty awesome.
Yep. No, the whole thing was just fucking awesome. There is not a fucking... I don't think there is more than, like, one remotely not good memory. It was just... The whole thing was pretty stupendous, yeah. Yeah, pretty good. Karaoke was great, by the way.
Agreed it was.
Agreed.
Yeah, now I can't stop listening to Stay With Me, and it's all your fault.
I did that.
I still got the picture of Bjorn proposing to you when you were singing it.
That was real good.
You missed because you're a minor and you weren't allowed in the big adult room.
Nah.
Me and Tom Ross doing Nothing But a G Thing by Dr. Dre.
I have a picture of that.
That doesn't seem right.
It was. There was nothing wrong with it. It was there's nothing that could have been wrong in that moment.
I can't put that together in my head.
I think Jackie and Aaron singing.
Yeah.
That was just awesome.
Jackie Lee can throw it down.
Yeah.
Holy.
That was the surprise.
Mm-hmm. Agree. Yeah, the first song that they had me sing was, first song where I had me sing was Everybody, Backstreet's Back. So first song.
Yeah.
What? Everybody's like, Mariah, were you even born yet? Why are you giving us all these songs?
It was good.
I liked it how we got everybody to come with and sing Bye 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 before we left.
It was also very good.
That was a Montreal thing, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, we did that there too. Do you remember? Oh yeah, you were sober that day.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. Towards the tail end of it. I still have a little bit of an issue trying to put all that together. The next day, put together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, the next day was fine. I woke you up at 8:30 for your 8:45 start. You got dressed. 8:15 for your 8:45 start or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woke you up, got you dressed, and then you fell asleep on the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds about right.
So then you told me to go and tell them that you're dead, and then you went back to bed. And then you showed up later. So that's all I know.
Much, much more.
But that's all I got for you, buddy.
Cool.
The rest is on you.
It's beautiful.
But no, so it was, so all in all, pretty good week for Magic.
Yeah, I haven't touched any cons cards yet, aside from, like, the three terrible boxes I opened.
Yeah, I got one Korean box.
Yeah.
And it was the biggest shit show I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
It was, like, literally the worst. I think I was fortunate enough to open a foil, no, there were no foils. Hold on, what do we got here? That's this. What's this? Is this it?
Is that it?
No, that's not it. Fuck. So I think I opened a foil Rattleclaw Mystic.
Okay.
Which looks gross. Looks so good. I opened up three non-foil Treasure Cruises.
Okay.
Zuckery inbox, right? I opened up zero Murderous Cuts.
Zero cuts?
Yeah. I opened up one Jeskai Ascendancy.
Yeah.
I opened one Windswept Heath.
Yeah.
And no other fetch lands.
Wow, you got a one?
I opened no Planeswalkers.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was basically just shitty. Like, it was the shittiest box I've ever seen anywhere. And there are pictures all over the internet of shitty boxes.
Yeah. No, in my three boxes, I got six fetches in total.
Yeah.
And then one Planeswalker, one Sorin. And yeah, my second box was just like a pile of chud. It had one fetch land, but it also had Sorin. So I guess it might have been a little bit better than yours.
Yeah.
My cool foil card I got was the Mantis Rider.
So I didn't get a foil one. I did get one Mantis Rider, and I also got I did get one Clever Impersonator.
Oh yeah, I got two of that guy.
Yeah.
And he's.
You guys aren't kidding. You guys' boxes were that rough?
Dude,
yeah.
Dude, like, hold on. I have it right here.
No, because while you're looking, Mariah's boyfriend came over Saturday. I posted that picture on Facebook teasing them, saying, like, wow, what a hot date.
Sure.
But they cracked up one box of Japanese, and they pulled six or seven fetches out of it, Japanese fetches.
Yeah.
So not to you know, dagger you, but, like, I thought you guys were just kidding.
Yeah, no, my buddy had an English box where he pulled 10 fetches out of it, one foil.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
Yeah. No, so I got, I was blessed with two copies of the Dragon Throne of Tarkir.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was real excited. No, I got a Hooded Hydra. I got a, the big fucking Necropolis Fiend.
Yeah.
I got an Ashcloud Phoenix.
Yeah.
Crackling Doom. Two Temur Ascendancies, one Mardu Ascendancy, Dune Blast. I got an Anafenza, which is nice. I got the Clever Impersonator. Bulk.
Oh, and that's the best part is that Bulk is, like, worse than Bulk.
Bulk. Crater Claws, Mantis Rider. Bulk. Thousand Winds. There's my Ascendancy, my Fetchland, my Foil Guy. Oh, I did get a Bloodsoak Champion.
Okay, yeah. That was actually a card I did get in numbers. So I'm happy for that one.
That's sweet. And I got a foil Despise. I got a foil Raid Monkey. But aside from that, that's literally it. The rest of it is absolute garbage. I did get two Korean Seek of the Ways. I got one Ice Feather Aven. A pile of lands. Some charms. That's it. It was terrible. Yep. Absolutely fucking
usually
terrible.
I do really good, but the last two sets I've actually, like, struck out on. For my boxes.
Yeah. Now, I did get a Sorin emblem.
Oh, that's cool.
A Korean Sorin emblem. So that was neat. But could have just been a fucking Sorin and I would have been happy. Yeah, it was literally the shittiest thing ever. And it's so funny because I never, ever, ever fucking buy boxes. Ever. And I just decided that I'd try it this time because it's Korean and it was the biggest mistake of my life.
You know, the kid walked in behind you and bought two boxes, got like 17 fetch lands.
Yep.
Yeah, it was funny because the way our store works is they'll let you get your product early. You're just not allowed to leave the store. So they like herd everyone into like the playing area and they lock the doors. And like you can start opening your boxes like an hour early, just so long as you do not leave.
Yeah.
And, so I sit there and I'm like, there's a whole bunch of us who are like cracking and starting sorting and everything like that. And yeah, everyone else was just like ripping them like crazy. Just wild. Everyone just pack after pack after pack just seemed to be fetch lands. And I'm sitting there just like, okay, what's going on here? So what I did do is every time I got a foil uncommon land, I made sure to put it into the pile of my fetches. So when people would like randomly walk by and like go to like, you know, pick up the pile, they were getting trolled because every time I opened one, I like, you know, immediately seized up and I got trolled by the land. So I made sure to like pass the trolling on. So a lot of people like, oh my God, it's uncommon. It's like, yeah.
So, wah, wah.
Yeah. Lots of foil uncommon lands. Did get that. So what's coming up? Anything exciting? We got that Pro Tour thing.
I'm getting tilted watching everyone in pools and beach houses for the next week. It's already starting.
Yeah. Is KYT going to play in a Pro Tour? Or he's in the next one?
I'm in the next one.
You're in the next one. That's right.
Where's the next one?
Washington.
D.C.
Oh, I got so excited.
That's great. So right now, Calcano and all them are in a pool.
I know.
Living it up, and you get to go to Washington, D.C.
I'm so
excited. Tilt! But I got there finally, so that's all.
That's awesome, man. I'm just waiting to hear about Ottawa right now. Because I've applied to judge that.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Tony, you are still coming down to in June, right?
I already told you I was.
So this is happening for sure.
I will finally go get a visa or passport. I've never had a passport. I will get one just for this trip.
What? I'm so excited. So Niagara Falls Comic Con.
Oh, cool. Okay.
That we do every year. Back in 2015, June 5th, 6th, and 7th. That's the weekend. That's where it is exactly.
My birthday is June 7th.
Okay, so that's when it is. It's 3 days. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Got infinitely better.
Yeah. It's insane. It's going to be so much fun. So we will have two tournaments during the course of that day. We can do, I don't know, like, we'll have sanctioned and non-sanctioned. Like, you can also just gunsling and I'll fucking play. So you can, like, play some actual Magic.
Yeah, I'll gunsling for sure. Mariah got the gunsling at the a pre-release up here.
Yep.
And so, like, coming up the week before, Mariah's like, hey, do you want to go gunsling at, you know, our friend Liz's store? And I was like, yeah! I was, like, all excited and stuff. And so we get there, and the owner's like, all right, Mariah, you ready to gunsling? Apparently, I wasn't invited to gunsling. Mariah thought I was. And so then I just sat there for 6 hours playing with my iPhone, like, yep, keep going. It's all good.
That's literally the worst thing ever.
No, but that is a new store in Tacoma called Northwest Sports Cards, and they're absolutely awesome. I love them. They've been awesome to Mariah and Elvis, you know, our friend Gabby's store in Olympia, you know, they did a lot of good stuff, and so we love to just try and give back.
I only gave out 2 packs.
Good for you.
That's the way to go about it.
Shit, she was getting ready to call a judge on people.
I felt so bad because I crushed this one kid who was obviously new, and I tried really hard to be like, you know, like be nice on him and not. I just felt so bad because I still crushed him.
So do you still get that, like, that competitive thing still feels good, eh?
Yeah.
When you have the opportunity to just, like, literally smite your opponents. So good. It's like you're hitting them with a car or something.
Oh, God.
Good there.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. It was like, yeah, hitting you with a Mack truck or a Corolla. Anyways. Yeah, okay, so what else we got? Are we good? Like, do we have anything else we want to talk about? We're going to do Pro Tour next weekend, right? Like, yep. Next week on the show, yeah. We'll talk Pro Tour.
Yeah.
Like, we may have, we have one, maybe two amazingly special guests to help us with our Pro Tour rundown next week.
Very special.
I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, me too.
So we'll see how that all shakes out. But in the meantime, Tony, Mariah, anybody you want to shout out? Anything you want to say? Anything else that you want to, like, put out there and promote that we haven't given you platform to do so yet?
You know what? There is actually one thing I would like to say. You know, in all of us, in all this talking that we've done today, there might be listeners who don't know, like, what we're talking about Mariah and the wheelchair and stuff like that. And so to be really brief about it, Mariah was hit by a car back in May while walking home from school. In the accident, she had a bunch of broken bones, broken back, two broken legs. And, you know, in process, her spinal cord was severed. So right now she is unable to walk, and we don't really know what's going to happen with that. So that's the story. Yeah, that's the back end of the story. And I know that the A team has talked about it, and a lot of people have. First, since, you know, besides having us on tonight and thanking you for that, you guys were one of the first ones that came to our, you were on that front line with a lot of other people really early on while she was in intensive care, making people know about, you know, what happened. And for that, you know, both of us really want to thank you for that, because we've been big fans of the show for a long time. You know, we've gotten the chance to meet and hang out and play together and stuff. And it's things like this that really show a testament to how strong and how well-meaning our Magic community really is. People love the drama. People love to stir up, you know, trolling and stuff like this. But when push comes to shove, this accident really showed to me, someone who's played for 15 years in this game on all levels, from the Pro Tour down to, you know, a Tuesday night casual event, that our community really looks out for each other. For everyone who's listening on the podcast, we want to thank you for all your prayers, your love and support that have helped us get through this, and to the point where we can joke about it and have some fun with it. And it really means a lot to us, because the community has been excellent to us. And we're just going to try and continue to be excellent to give back to the community, you know, every step of the way.
It's awesome. Mariah, anyone you want to say hi to?
I feel like put on the spot now.
Yep.
You are. This is actually the spot. You have been put on it.
No, I just want to say thank you to everybody that, you know, helped out and contributed to Team Panda. And I love everybody. You guys are awesome. My Canada Panda's next to Huey the Rat.
Nice.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Well, it was super amazing having you guys on. I was really pleased that we were able to put this together in short order. It made me very, very happy.
It likewise here.
So, yeah, I guess KYT, would you like to promote anything before we go, since you're getting real good at it?
No, I just want to keep promoting my Patreon that has been doing really well to start things off. So that's something that I hope people can continue to support, because I'm going to need some help moving forward with the site. So, but like the A-Team listeners and other people have come in and contributed to help really lessen the load for me. So I'm really thankful for that. That will allow me to, like, focus on making cons of Tarkir constructed / limited videos. So I can't wait to do that, because I'm getting absolutely destroyed in limited.
That's always the way it works, though. You always get destroyed in limited.
Yeah, I always say that at the beginning. And, but this, again, it's, like, really hard. And the only, if anybody was listening for some info for me, it's, like, the new approach I have is not to commit too much and get yourself into a enemy guild like Orzhov, any of the guilds that allow you to jump into two clans, and then keep yourself open that way, and then see what clan is open, and then jump into that. So the key is really, really being open and not opening like a three color good card and commit too hard. which is what I've been doing and getting absolutely destroyed, especially when the guy to my right is probably not really reading signals that well, or to my left. And, you know, we like the last two drafts, I end up in the exact same clan as a guy next to me. So one of us is doing it wrong. So I'm going to avoid that. And admittedly, I was the one doing it wrong at least one of the time. So I need to improve on that as well. I'm not just saying other people fucked up. But yeah, that's all for me for this week. And not making it to GP Orlando because I got to take a break, especially since my girlfriend decided to enroll me into a swing dance class every Friday night. Oh,
that's so much fun. I'm so happy for you.
So that's why I haven't been going to that many events. But thankfully, I qualified for the Pro Tour, so it allows me to, like, not have to travel Friday night anymore.
So it came together perfectly.
It came together, like, at the exact right time, so.
Sweet.
Enjoying myself.
Scotty.
Yeah, buddy.
You know what I just thought of is that if any of the listeners want to talk Planeswalker points, have ideas, want to throw things at me, yell at me about them, I will plug the Twitter again. It's TPUPAZ, TPUPAZ. What did you call it, KYT?
Poopas.
Poopas. T-Poopas. But yeah, I definitely love to hear all feedback, and I would, you know, try and get, you know, as much of it as I can, take it to the people who make the decisions.
Yeah. It's nice because the one thing I really felt like about your role, as I was to understand it during the time that we had together, was that you really are still, it's like you're our community spy. I feel like everything that you're doing and all of your motivations within the organization are simply actually at the end of the day for us. And I think that's something that is really commendable, and perhaps it's something that more people should be doing or more people should be talking about. And so I just, like, I want to thank you for that. And I think that, you know, if you can you continue to do that, then I know you're going to bring about the change that you want. So that's pretty awesome.
Thanks, man.
You got it, buddy.
So much love.
This whole show has been nothing but a big slop fest. It's been disgusting.
Do we have any scumbag stories?
Oh, yeah. Give me a scumbag story. You can't be on the A-team without giving a scumbag story. Mariah, you're in for this too, so you're going to make your dad go first, but you better think about this.
Oh, my God. I don't think I'm allowed to tell a scumbag story.
Neither. The one that pops in my head, I'm not sure I can tell.
Well, which one? Whisper it real quick.
Off the gain.
Oh, that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're not. You can't tell that one. No. Unfortunately, no, we can't.
Wow. That guy?
One's been dad vetoed and the other one's been job vetoed. So.
Oh, all right. Well.
In June, I'll tell you a great scumbag story.
Done. Feel free to submit an anonymous scumbag story anonymously with names replaced to my email inbox at your leisure. I may or may not read them in the next two episodes. All right, that's fair.
I'm loving all the dad tweets about, like, Tony, your dad tweets, like, just trying to embarrass Mariah and his boyfriend and her boyfriend are hilarious.
So have you met this kid?
Who, me?
No. Obviously, KYT hasn't met the kid. But, like, no, do you know who this is? Okay. So I, like, barely met the kid, mostly because he really wouldn't look at me and say anything. But, but the other thing that I thought was really neat, like, he's really polite. He's Asian, okay, which is okay, because apparently that's Mariah's bag. Apparently that's Mariah's bag. Like, all I'm saying is, like, that's her thing. Which is why, like, Paul Cheon was, like, such a hit for her.
I'm so upset at Paul Cheon, because you know what? It's just so unfair that he's cute, and then he has a hot wife, and then he has a cute little baby, and it's just, it's not fair. Like, no.
There should not be that many positive genes in one pool.
It's not allowed.
Yeah, spread them around. I agree. But yeah, it's so this kid is great and nice, And he's always touching Mariah. Always. Yeah. Always touching her. And it's like seemingly sweet and innocent. You know, it's like holding her hand or it's like rubbing her arm, you know, something like that. But like, I don't think there was 15 seconds. I don't even know if he went to the bathroom because that would have meant that he would have to stop touching her. Like, I don't even know.
This dude's like you're his ring of power or something like yeah. that.
My precious.
He came in the house for the very first date with a thing of flowers and a thing of ice cream, like being all romantic and stuff, which I thought was a smooth old school move. Okay.
Yeah.
And then flowers
and ice cream can get you a long way.
Then he comes to me and goes, I guess I should just ask you up front, since me and Mariah are dating now, is how do you want me to address you? I instinctively replied, without even thinking, I was like, no, just call me Tony or T-Pup, you know, whatever. And then like 10 seconds later, I was like, God damn it. I could have been like Overlord Polyako of the universe or like something like totally like ridiculous. And then just held him to it and make him call me that for the entire thing.
Because he really would, too.
No, he would. Because I already had him freaked out before he even came to the house. Because apparently, for some reason, and Mariah can vouch this, is that people are scared of me when they date her.
Oh, yeah. Any guy who likes me is like, oh, I can't date you. Like, Tony's your dad. He's just so... Like, everybody's just so scared, Dad.
And so this will be my scumbag story because I didn't do it and it's funny too. So I was gonna go print out like a fake like looking sheet that was like you know this story.
Yeah, I know this story. It's real good.
So I was gonna print out this fake like warning sheet and then have him come over to the house and then be like, dude, I was looking up your match history and I see like unsportsmanlike conduct.
Wow.
Like major wheeling a girl down a hill, like, and then just like totally like, what is this? Like, is this some weird fetish of yours or something? But the kid is actually really nice, and I didn't want to like totally freak him out because I am definitely an acquired taste. So he might have actually ran away in tears.
Distinctly possible. Completely believable.
I think that's allowed, though. Like, I think that that's kind of like a dad thing. Like, I'm looking forward to running those same trolls on my daughter when she gets old enough to be dating.
When Mariah was 15, 16, hitting up GPs and SCG opens with me, it was like, people were like, where's your daughter? And I'm like, I don't care. And they're like, why? It's because we had 50 judges who were there as her uncles watching every move she made. And it got to the point where I was getting text messages like three or four around, like, Mariah's talking to this guy. Mariah's talking to this guy. And it's like some covert network that I didn't even start. Like, people were just doing it for me. And so I was like, well, then, hell, I don't have to watch her if everyone else is. So what's the project?
I remember one time at a GP, there was this guy that Dad didn't want me near. He was just like, he was a douche.
Did he play professional poker?
And so every time he'd walk near me, a judge would come up, put his arm around me, like, hey, Mariah, walk me in the other direction.
Oh, wow.
Whole weekend. Like, it happened at least 5 times, and I didn't even notice, like, what they were doing. And afterwards, it was the funniest thing ever, because I was like, oh my gosh, like, this worked really well, and this is just sad.
Well,
awesome. One day you guys are going to have to experience all this, so good luck.
Hey, man, like, I got my 15-year-old boy, at least. I've already been through the whole, like, trailer tramp thing with him, so hopefully that's all done. But listen, no, I can't even. I can't even tonight. I'm not gonna do this tonight. When I see you in June, I will tell you a story about trailer tramps.
Oh,
we'll do okay. that.
Wow.
But oh god, terrible. Okay. And like my daughter, I'm really excited because, you know, I hope that she's going to have a good head on her shoulders. And I don't know who her potential suitors are going to have to be more worried about, me or her brother.
Mm. Very good.
Yeah, that's good because he's, you know, running the D on the other angle. Like. Yeah.
He said to me today, he's like, I tell you, Dad, I was talking about this with my friends. The first time she comes home with booty shorts and a tube top, they're getting burned. Good man.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So, anyways, yeah. On that note. Better to burn out than fade away, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Come check me out at TarmaCon if you're in the Great White North, Great White North.
And when is that?
Northwest Territories.
When is that?
When is that? I don't know. I'm going to do the Google thing.
The Google foo is strong with this
one. Yeah, it's in like 2 weeks.
Okay.
So I'll find out what that actual day is because I'm just not very good at that.
Sweet. Well, Kyle's amazing at it, and he's going to put it in the show notes like he did last week. So that's fucking awesome.
Exactly.
All right. So don't forget, planeswalkerpoints.com. We've got Arctic Con or whatever the heck you're calling it.
TarmaCon.
Sort of like TarmaCon.
Yellowknife Northwest Territories.
Okay. Sponsor KYT's Patreon.
Yes.
And stay tuned for some ridiculously huge news for me in the next 2 weeks, but I can't say anything now. Sorry!
How huge?
Well, I could tell. It's like a baby's arm holding an apple. Oh, my news! Oh, my news! Oh,
what the fuck?
I don't know, like, about that big? Anyways. So it's
Saturday, October 18th.
There you go. So check that out. Anyways, in the meantime, that's it for us this week. Scotty Mac, Jer, KYT, for studying really fucking hard, Jay. Hopefully he passes his exam. Shout out to the boy. Tony Mariah. I mean, like, he always thinks he's going to do shitty, and then he does perfect. So, exactly. The more nervous he is, the better off he's going to be. He does well under pressure. I watched him get married. He does well under pressure. He almost jumped off the cliff. Almost. Anyways. Tony Mariah, pleasure as always. For all the rest of you, we will see y'all next week. Peace out.
Later, guys.
Bye.